Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. The Boys and Girls Club of Muncie is a place for kids to go after school. It's loud and happy, serving 1,600 young people last year with the help of 600 volunteers. As director Micah Maxwell says, this is a group that's easy to understand. People want to help. The other day, that included trainer and motivational speaker Stedman Graham. His message to student leaders was brief and to the point.
I teach identity development. So I teach people how to find out who they are, and I would say that most people don't know who they are because they're followers as opposed to leaders. And if you had to transform from a follower to a leader, there's a couple of things you'd have to be able to do well. One is self-mastery. It's being able to master yourself. And most people will never be able to master themselves because they're not learners. They go to school, they memorize, they take tests, repeat the information back, they get labeled with a grade, and 2 weeks later they forget the information. So they really don't learn anything. So in order to be a master of self, you have to be a learner. You have to be able to take information and education and make it relevant to a skill. So if you want to create self-mastery, you need one skill that you're really good at. Find that one thing that you do very, very well. And then if you can take information and education and make it relevant to that one thing, and organize all the resources out around the world that relate to that one thing that will empower you. So you learn so much about that one thing that you become better than anybody else. That's your value. That's how you start off. And the value that you give yourself is the value the world gives you. The world sees you as you see yourself. So self-mastery is about self-discipline and self-directed learning. You got to direct your own learning. You got to take charge of your own development. You got to create your own path, especially today in the 21st century when you're inundated with all kinds of information, too much information. You're all over the place. You have no focus. You don't know what you do. You can't organize your talents, your abilities, your skills, your passions, what you love. And you're basically confused. And you can join about, there's 7 billion people in the world, you can join about 6.9 billion of those people who are in the same boat. Pretty much slaves, followers, and consumers. So if you want to move from a slave to an owner, from a follower to a leader, you have to think. You have to turn the brain on. You got to organize your mind. So if I can get your mind and I can get you to play with yourself and play with all of the games and I can get you to not be serious about your life and you don't have good study habits and you don't finish school, I can pretty much predict who you're going to become because it's all based on your habits. If you got bad habits, pretty much you will never have self-mastery. If you got bad habits, it's hard to be a self-directed learner. If you got bad habits, it's hard to be able to produce good results because you only have a day. You got one day to produce good habits. You multiply that times 7, you got 1 week to produce good habits. You multiply that times 4, you only have 1 month to produce good habits. You multiply that times 12, you got 1 year to produce good habits. So the result of your life is based on either bad habits or good habits. Thank you all very much for having me.
Stedman Graham, in a short talk with student leaders at the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie before he spoke to a larger group at the gym. And in case you're wondering, it is that Stedman Graham, but Oprah's name didn't come up when he stopped by on his way to speak at Ball State University. One of the people watching on this day was a young guy who works at the club.
Kevin Holland.
You work here. What is it that you do?
Yes, sir. My job is a junior staff, which is pretty much, I would kind of say an assistant to everybody, but it's more, you know, I'm more of a supervisor of things that, you know, behind the scenes kind of stuff, things that they're not you know, the Boys and Girls Club, we have so many opportunities and so many activities going on that we need junior staff to really be behind the scenes, get the small stuff done, so when the big picture comes around, you know, we're the ones that somewhat, you know, help run.
It's a big job, isn't it?
Well, it's a it's a stressor, I should say. There's a lot. We have a lot of kids. We have over 150 kids come in daily. So they're wonderful kids, but at times it can be a little stressful, you know, when we have on-the-spot things, you know, people come in, donating things, we have to get that situated as far as getting the kids situated and everything, power hour, stuff like that. So every once in a while it gets hard, but overall the kids are, it's a success.
You started out here, right?
Absolutely. Well, I started coming to the club as a club kid about 4 or 5 years ago, just as a regular club kid. And as I grew older, you know, the Boys and Girls Club had a big impact on my life. So when I hit 16, I was able to apply for the junior staff program. So I've been part of Boys and Girls Club for about 5 or 6 years.
How did it have a big impact on your life?
Well, when I was a kid, you know, every kid, I would say, goes through a struggle. When I went through my struggles, my turning point was to come to the Boys and Girls Club. You know, I wasn't.
How old were you then?
I was 12 years old when I first started coming here.
Were you getting in trouble, or what was going on?
Well, I was in and out of trouble. You know, I was having trouble with school and family-wise, but I started coming here. You know, the Boys and Girls Club, they really helped me see that I have a brighter future as long as I keep my best foot forward, you know. So it really had a big impact on my life.
Were there volunteers and folks who helped you with that, who helped you understand that?
Well, it was more of the staff members here, but we had volunteers come in daily. When I was 12, we also had volunteers. So it was more of a staff and volunteers that really helped me out. And so when I was able to come up and be a volunteer, you know.
So is it a matter of giving people a place to go, or it's more to it than that, I'm guessing?
Absolutely. The Boys and Girls Club, well, like the slogan says, we open doors, you know, we make futures bright. And so when I first came here, you know, like I said, I was a somewhat bad kid, and the Boys and Girls Club really opened new doors to me. And so now that I'm here now, as part of the junior staff, I like to open doors for our younger kids, you know, see that they have a brighter future.
Is there a path that people go through? In other words, when they first come in, maybe they're a little wild or something, and I mean, tell me how that works.
Yeah, we often get a lot of kids that haven't really had an organization like this. And so they come in, they're trying to fit in, you know, and if they see somebody doing the wrong thing, I should say, they tend to do that too because they're trying to fit in. But our staff members, our volunteers, and just kids here, you know, we try to push them to do bigger and brighter things. And so I would say they first start coming in a little while, and as they progress, they get better.
How old are you, and what are you doing in school and all that?
Well, I'm 17. I'm a senior at Muncie Central High School. You know, I really just, right now I'm just trying to graduate, but I'm also trying to be here for the kids.
What do you want to do? You want to go to college after high school?
Absolutely. I was thinking about going to some university, either here or in Arizona, but I'm trying to study communications like my boss, Michael Maxwell.
Describe what it's like growing up in Muncie and kind of in your neighborhood and what you've seen.
Well, I was born and raised in Muncie, Indiana, and I've seen good and bad people come out of here. You know, Bonzi Wells as perfect example of a guy that really turned the right path and went down. I've seen a lot of people in my past that has turned down the wrong path. So it's kind of a, you know, which way should I go kind of thing. But like I said, when I was 12, you know, I was starting to go down that wrong path. But when I came to the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie, you know, it really showed me that I was going down the wrong path, and now I'm going down, you know, right in a bigger future.
Has there been a time when you were working with some young person and you felt like, hey, this is working out? You know, somebody maybe started listening to you and you hadn't been sure they would?
Absolutely. There was a kid, I would say about a year ago, he had gotten in trouble. He knew he was wrong at the end of the day, but he was sitting down, he was really feeling down on himself. So I was just walking by, I turned to my right and I see him sitting down. I asked him what was wrong. He said, well, I got in trouble for this and I have to write these sentences and stuff like that, but he didn't want to do them. So I told him, hey, you know what? I mean, the quicker you get them done, the quicker you can get up and go back to the basketball and everything. So we actually sat down, I talked to him about why he was in trouble, what he could have done to not get in trouble, and what he can do in the future. And after that, I told him, hey, like I told you, you know, just do these sentences. Knock out these quick 10, 15 sentences. You can go back and play basketball. And I turned back around. He's knocking them out.
What's the secret to helping people? There's got to be more to it than just saying, don't do that, right? I mean, people have heard that before.
I wouldn't say it's a secret. I would just say it's patience. You know, these kids, they're kids. So kids are going to mess up whether you like it or not. So all we got to do is be patient with them, you know, try to stand behind them no matter what they do, and they'll be fine.
You know, Kevin, you seem older than your years. You seem like a guy who's older than 17. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You have some maturity and poise. Where does that come from?
Well, Boys and Girls Club. You know, Mr. Mike, I see him as a very successful man for his age. My father, you know, he's a preacher and everything. He showed me at a young age, you know, to be be better, you know, than what my peers are. And so I grew up around a lot of role models. And so they really helped me out and become who I am today.
Kevin Holland, junior staffer at the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie. He's 17 and a senior at Muncie Central High School. Started coming to the club when he was 12. Serious but friendly, he's a man on a mission to help other young people who are in the same place where he once was.
All the teens of America! All the teens of America! All the teens of America! All the teens of America!
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
My name is Antonio Benford. I work as the full-time unit director here at the Boys and Girls Club. Some of those responsibilities include staff and members and volunteers, facilities, any discipline that I have to deal with. I grew up as a club kid. I came to this Boys and Girls Club. I lived right across the street from Heakin Park, 1210 East 9th Street, directly across the street. So however I could get here, I would get here. Ride my bike, worry my mom, ask my sister.
How
get
old
a
were
lift.
You then?
At that time, I was probably between 8 and 10 years old. Yeah.
So you were like a lot of these folks around here?
I was like a lot of these little folks around here. So it allows me to do my job in a very unique way. It allows me to tie past experiences to what I used to do, good or bad. And I used to tie, and I can tie it to here. And it helps me in my day-to-day operations as far as dealing with discipline or parents or coming up with cool stuff to do, stuff that we did and stuff that I would had loved to do when I was here at the club.
Discipline's got to be tough, right? You don't want to push people away, but at the same time, you have rules, right?
Absolutely. Discipline can be pretty challenging here at times. It was definitely more challenging a couple years ago. We've taken a lot of strides within the past couple years to just trying to change the culture, trying to change the environment here at the Boys and Girls Club. Now, even basketball isn't much talked about here anymore, and discipline isn't even an issue here anymore. So, like you say, you have to balance those two of what did you do? Evaluate it. How often do you do that? And does it deserve the punishment to kick you out of the Boys and Girls Club? Where are you going to always get yes, so, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am? All those values and soft skills that you're not learning at home, do I send you back to that stuff where you're not learning that? Or do I punish you here and keep you here for longer so you have to have that even keel there?
Have you learned something about motivating children? And
yeah, I think just being as real and as transparent as possible. These kids get to hear a lot of stuff. They get to see a lot of stuff. So they know what's real and what's fake. They know what you can do realistically on a day-to-day basis and what you can't do. So you have to set those small goals for them. You have to give them something to accomplish. You got to make them feel like they belong here at the club, like the Boys and Girls Club is theirs, not mine. So I always tell them, this is your club. So you tear it up, that's up to you. So, you know, you got to treat you like your second home and that kind of stuff. So just giving them some responsibility and giving them a sense of belonging and usefulness here at the club, I think goes by far of what, you know, just teaching out the book is good, but that don't always work for every organization, every facility. So we teach by lessons. We teach by what we've been through. We teach by what you're going to see on a day-to-day basis. So that helps us get through our kids more than anything.
And knowing that you care probably makes a difference, right?
Absolutely. Knowing that every day, without a doubt, it's intentional about asking how their day was and being sincere about it. It's calling them by name. That's little stuff that they don't always get. Feeding them a meal every day, helping them tie their shoe, praising them when they don't do, when they're not always in trouble. Discipline isn't just you're in trouble. Discipline is going back and praising them when they do the right things. So that kind of stuff helps as well, absolutely.
I'm guessing that it's been something like more than 20 years since you were a little person here, right?
Yes, I am 28 years old, so it's been about 20 years since I was here at the Boys and Girls Club doing what they're doing. The structure hasn't changed as far as the building, the way it looks, the way you check in, where the gym is, the activities you do there. So a lot of that stuff is the same, and it helps me with my day-to-day fun and my day-to-day walk through the club and that kind of stuff.
Has the world, the neighborhood changed in 20 years?
Not really. I mean, as good or as bad as it may seem, not really. We still in a high poverty area. We're still in a high crime area. When you're here at the Boys and Girls Club, you don't get that feeling. You get a feeling that this is where it's safe, and this is where you're going to get a meal, and this is where you're going to get positive role models in front of you every day with our Ball State volunteers, with our staff that we have here, our parents that we have work for us, all that kind of stuff. So this is a home outside of home.
Antonio Benford, who works at the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie, he says he believes in the power of casual conversations. He says, you don't know how what you say can make a difference 10 years down the road, but I know I benefited from it.
And nobody, nobody knows. Let the oath fall from our shoulders. Don't carry it all, don't carry it all. We are all our hands and holders beneath this bold and brilliant sun. This I swear to all.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
We visited the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie the other day. Micah Maxwell is executive director.
The Boys and Girls Club is in a pretty good position in that we served 1,600 kids last year. We had over 600 volunteers that registered hours. We have an active, engaged board of 15 board members, thriving staff, and a fundraising base that we've never seen before. So we're pretty excited about the status of the Boys and Girls Club now.
What are we seeing when we come here and we see, obviously we see the kids playing, but there's much more than that.
Yeah, so we focus on academics, health, and character. When kids come into the building, we make sure that they are focused on academics. They may not want to, but we know that when kids can read and do math at their grading level, they will be successful in life. So we focus on that and follow that quickly with having fun. We want kids to have fun. When they have fun at the Boys and Girls Club, we come back the next day. Come back the next day, we can focus on character, making sure it's surrounded around positive, caring adults to actually invest in them, support them, mentor them, and tutor them.
How's the support been? A lot of nonprofits have had trouble in recent years.
Our challenge has been simply that people don't know what the Boys and Girls Club does. And for a long time, we simply existed. As people learn about what we do, we understand how important Boys and Girls Clubs are. Here's the deal. Every day after school, one out of four kids have no place to go, where they run the risk of being unsupervised, unguided, and unsafe. And the club helps fill that gap. And as parents understand that, it has nothing to do with you can afford programs or not, whether or not you're a good parent. Kids need somewhere to go after school, and we provide that environment for them. So as a result, as kids, parents understand that, they bring them to the Boys and Girls Club, we're able to help fill that void.
Have you seen young people change as a result of their contact?
Well, a simple example of that is when we open up for teenagers in the afternoon, teens come into our building, and we expect our teens, when they walk into the building, to speak to adults. Now, we have anywhere between 5 and 7 adult males every single evening waiting to engage with teenagers. They shake their hand, they look them in the eye. And I don't know any other place in our community that expects teenagers to come in and speak to them. At school, they come in, they sit down to do schoolwork, and as good as teachers are, it's nearly impossible to engage with every single kid that comes into the classroom. At home, we know that kids come in, go back to their room, close the door, and start playing video games. So when do they engage with adults? Here at the Boys and Girls Club, it's expected, and we encourage them to engage with adults, have a conversation, and we learn about what's going on in life. We know how we can learn how to help them.
Well, how do you prepare the volunteers for that? I mean, how do you explain to them what this means for these young folks, that contact part?
We set a culture for our volunteers of expectation. We don't want volunteers coming and punching a clock. We want them to buy into what we do here, engage in what we do here. And volunteers, in turn, look forward to coming and engaging with our people, whether it's playing a game, or whether it's tutoring, or mentoring, or playing basketball. They look forward to engaging with the kids here at the Boys and Girls Club.
Do you think times are any tougher now, any different now than 20 years ago in Muncie?
Well, we've gone from a time where plenty of resources were available and home life was okay to now resources are very limited and home life is very questionable for a lot of people. And not because parents don't care, it's because they don't have the resources or they don't know. And so we are now is we have to do a good job providing programs because the need is there. And we know that between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, 1/3 of juvenile crimes or violent crimes happen between that time. And that's when we try to be available. If you picture three puzzle pieces, the first being school and the third being home, we're that middle puzzle piece that connects kids from school to home during that critical time for them to be guided, supervised, and safe.
I was talking with Kevin before, seems like an example of a person who got a lot out of the program.
Kevin was highlighted last year as our Youth of the Year. And because of what he went through and what his experiences and life challenges and what the Boys and Girls Club offered to him, with a great mother at home and a great father at home, we helped fill a gap. And there was a time when he wanted to drop out of school. And because the Boys and Girls Club offered a place for him to go and adult staff that cared about him and invested in him, he basically got on track, and now he's joined the military. He's a member of the National Guard, and he's one of our prime volunteers here, and is just an upstanding citizen wherever he goes.
This is a good investment in people, isn't it? You put some resources in at this end.
Yeah, the Boys and Girls Club is an easy organization to support. Everyone can relate to the fact that when you invest in kids, you're investing in the future of our community. And we focus on, again, academics. We want kids to graduate from high school ready for a college, career, trade, or military. We want to inspire kids to be leaders. We do that through our character focus. We want to encourage kids to be healthy and motivate kids to be healthy. And that's our three focuses: academics, health, and character.
When a person walks in here in the afternoon, it sounds like cacophony. I mean, it is. Describe what we're seeing.
So I'm old school. When I come into a building, I want it to be quiet. I don't want to see and hear kids. But when kids walk in the building, because they see and hear the kids, because it's loud, because it's noisy and there's games and activity, that encourages kids to come. And every day we try to focus that when we close, when we send a kid home, that kid ends on a good note, to make them want to come back the next day. Again, when they come back three or more times a week, we know we have impact. And in fact, 57% of club alumni say, if it wasn't for the club, I would not be alive. The club saved my life.
Now I've been crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, their eyes a beast train. Oh, beast train, take this country. Come take me home again. Oh, beast train, sounding louder.
Ride on the beast train.
Micah Maxwell, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie, explaining as well as anybody else we've heard how young people can be helped by a place to go after school and by adults who care enough to talk to them and have the patience to stick it out. If you're that kind of person, or you want to support them any other way, you could start at their webpage, bgcmuncie.org. If you have any trouble, just give me a call. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.